Well, good morning. We are still trying to finish up Acts. We will not be talking about that this morning again, as many will be celebrating Father's Day tomorrow. Kind of think the Lord kind of put this on my heart to talk a little bit about Him being our Father. And, this may not be an easy message for everybody. It's not one that was very easy for me to prepare, but I just pray that the Lord will do what He wants to do in our hearts this morning regarding this subject of the Lord being our Father. So, Father, we just pray right now. We thank You that You are a perfect Father. You are so good. We love You. And I pray that, Lord, that You will give us understanding of Your word and understanding of those things that You want to say to us as Your children this morning. Lord, that we will come away with a deeper understanding of Your attitude, Your heart, Your love for us as our Father. So, Lord, we just pray that You will have Your will and way this morning, we pray. In Yeshua's name, amen. 2 Corinthians 6:18 is where we're starting. 2 Corinthians 6:18. This is, I know, pulling a verse out that Paul is trying to say a whole concept about the Corinthians, their relationship with the Lord, but this verse really stuck out to me. 2 Corinthians 6:18 says, "I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty." Now, this is a quote from the Tanakh that he is using, and he actually puts several verses together, but as we are going to be talking about fathers, our fathers, tomorrow. You will probably be calling your father if your father is still alive. You will probably be saying something, calling or talking to your father. If you are a father, you'll probably be hearing, getting calls from your children. It's a special day for fathers, but it's also a hard day for many people. And this concept of God being our Father. I didn't realize this till recently. It took me a long time to start my prayer with Father. I would start it with Lord. Sometimes I'd talk directly to Yeshua. But it was hard for me to start with Father. And I didn't understand why. And I had a pretty good relationship with my father, but it has its issues. I think all of us, if we were honest, growing up, we had some issue with our parents, maybe with your father. And so we're going to be talking a little bit about that, because those problems that we have with our natural parents, with our father here on earth, whether we like it or not, they affect our understanding of God as our Father. There's no way that it can't affect that. We would like it not to, and maybe we even say, oh no, it doesn't, I totally understand, but the reality is we find ourselves many times responding to God as our Father in the same way that we responded to our earthly father, or we expect from God the same attitude and the same behavior that maybe our earthly father had. And so it's very difficult sometimes to make that connection and understand and actually come to terms with God being our Father and what that means when He says, "I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty." Dell talked about it earlier, the Aaronic blessing. When God told Aaron to say the Aaronic blessing, you just saw a few minutes ago, we brought the children up. We did the blessing over the boys, the blessing over the girls, and then we did the Aaronic blessing. That is in Jewish tradition. That's what you do in blessing the children. The Aaronic blessing is a part of that. Why? because it is a blessing from the Heavenly Father. It is a blessing from the Father to His children. You and I as believers, if you're Jew or not a Jew, it doesn't matter. If you are a believer, you are grafted in, you are part of Israel. You don't. One does not replace the other. We are together, part of Israel. So he is our Father. And so that blessing, that Aaronic blessing, is from the Father to His children, to us. You know, that's pretty awesome when you think about it, that God wants to say those things to us. And we will be talking a little bit more about that in a few minutes. But first of all, let's talk a little bit of some of the issues that with our own fathers that maybe affect our relationship with God. Some of the possible issues. Abandonment. Those without a father or whose father died or left when they were young. You know, it's very hard if, everybody has a father, but maybe you never knew your father. Or when you were very young, your father left or your father died. It wasn't his fault, but he died. And you still felt that abandonment. Sometimes it's very difficult, and instead of just trying to bury that somewhere deep in your heart and in your mind, you know, maybe it's a good thing to do is bring that before the Lord and just say, Lord, I feel abandoned, and maybe sometimes I treat you as if you're going to abandon me, and I'm sorry for that, and Lord, please help me in this area, and I forgive my own father for abandoning me. Whatever that situation might have been. See, the point is so that you start to understand that God the Father is not going to abandon you. He loves you. It's not going to be like your earthly father. He is always there with us. Even though we may not always feel His presence, He is there with us, and He loves us. So abandonment may be an issue. Approval. Never being able to please your father. Never hearing your father say, I'm proud of you, good job. Or even if you heard it, it was very rare, maybe. You know, so always having to seek approval of your father. This is another thing that many times we transfer that to God. And even when God is trying to clearly say He approves of us, we don't even hear it. We don't even listen because we are so sure that He doesn't. We are so sure that we can never please Him. And here's the awesome thing about pleasing God. You and I, when we walk in the Spirit, it's really actually very easy to please God the Father today. He's made it very easy. All you and I have to do is walk in the Spirit. Because then it is the Lord, it is Messiah living in us, and that fully pleases the Father. And yet many times we're trying to do it in our own ability, our own strength. We're trying to do it with our own, I want to please God in my own way. Instead of the way that He has provided for us to please Him. If we do it the way He's provided, we will please Him. It won't be an issue. Outside of that, not only will we not please Him, we can't even please anybody, not even ourselves. But you know what? When you're walking in the Spirit, there's a confidence, there's a joy, there's a peace that comes with that. And you know, it says the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. We know that we are pleasing Him when we're walking in the Spirit. And that's an awesome aspect of that. But maybe approval is a big issue for you. You know, maybe even though you're trying, trying to walk in the Spirit, okay? And yet, you don't think you can please God because of that relationship maybe that you had with your father and you never felt like you could please Him. So how could we possibly please a perfect father if we can't even please an imperfect father? That's a good question, right? Well, we please the Father, God the Father, by surrendering to Him and being obedient to Him. That simple. We please him by walking in the Spirit. And as we walk in the Spirit, we completely please him. And he's given us all the ability to do that. That's the awesome part. We have the power to please him. Provision. Maybe you had a father that did not provide food or shelter. A father that did not provide food or shelter, and it was very difficult growing up. Maybe you had to be the provider in the home. Maybe your father was off, you know, pleasing whatever his own things, his own pleasure or whatever. And so it made it very difficult. And so understanding God as your provider is very difficult for some. You know, it's hard to release your finances to him because you have to keep control of that because it was never taken charge of very well, maybe. So maybe it's hard to let go of stuff. It's hard to let go of stuff and say, Lord, this is your stuff. It's not my stuff. Because maybe you didn't have very much growing up. How many of you grew up right near the Depression era? Anybody? Anybody honest? We have one. Joyce. Joyce, you're 90... 92. Joyce remembers the Depression. That was difficult, wasn't it, Joyce? There was times that you didn't know when your next meal was coming, maybe. There you go. So your mother provided. Praise the Lord. So, but people that come through the Depression era, we see that many times they are very careful with their resources. Because the resources were so slim. There was so little. Now, how many of you were around during World War II? Anybody? Okay. All right. Barely. Yeah. You might remember all of the stuff that had to happen to make that war effort happen. Things were not really easy back here. You know, people had to make a lot of sacrifices so that our soldiers could go out and win the war. How many of you were around during the last depression we had? Well, the one before the last one. In the 70s. When the gas went through the roof. And yeah, I was actually around there. I just remember long lines for gas stations and, you know, stuff like that. Well, once again, provision became an issue. Provision became an issue. Some of you are struggling with that right now, and it's very hard to trust God in this area if your own natural father really didn't provide very well for you. It's difficult. And yet God wants us to release that to him, to trust him. Say, Lord, all my stuff, all my finances, all my wealth, everything belongs to you. It's yours. And I trust you with it. I give it to you. Give me leading. Give me direction. Give me guidance. Help me to release. I have a problem with letting go of books for some reason. I don't know why. But I have so many books. I got a whole bookshelf next, and I got stacks next to that. And Heather's the same way. She has a lot of books. But she actually reads through her books and gets rid of them every now and then. No, she gets new ones then. But I read through like part of one book, and then I'll get bored with that, and then I'll go to another book, and I'll get bored. I got about 10 books I'm reading through right now. Sometimes I'll finish a book and then we have a big celebration, you know. But can I let go of that book? No way. Don't touch my book. I don't care if I've already read it. I mean, so there's an issue there, some kind of issue. I don't know why, but I'm not blaming my father for that one. But sometimes it is about provision that we really don't trust God, and maybe it's because, you know, we didn't see that growing up. What about punishment? If our father was overbearing or abusive in the area of discipline or punishment. Now, those are two different things, but sometimes we wrap them together. This can be a problem because then we see God, our father, God, as getting ready to crush us all the time. You know, I just had that bad thought. There's a thunderstorm around. I'm going to get a lightning bolt. I used to be afraid of that. I used to, like, whenever I was doing something wrong and a thunderstorm came through, I was sure I was going to get struck by lightning. That God was just waiting, you know. And, you know, maybe you have kind of this idea that God is going to punish you like your earthly father punished you. But God is not sitting there waiting to belt us or do whatever your father might have done. Okay, the other thing he doesn't do, I mean, we did this with our kids when they were as discipline sometimes, but we would put them in the corner. And if they weren't ready when they came out of the corner, we'd put them back in the corner. Now, you know, God does discipline us, right? But he always disciplines us in love. And one of the awesome things, one of the things that we always tried to do, we may not have been always perfect about this, but when our kids came back out of the corner or off their bed or after we spanked them, what we would make sure they understood is that we loved them. First of all, we talked through what the issue was, what the problem was, what they had done wrong so it was clear, and then we would renew that relationship. Okay? Our Heavenly Father does discipline us, but always for our good. And he always renews that relationship. He doesn't send us off and go, don't ever talk to me again. He doesn't punish us and then not tell us even what is going on. He doesn't do those types of things. He doesn't punish us just because he's having a bad day. I thank God that our Father, our Heavenly Father, doesn't have bad days. Don't you thank him for that? Isn't that wonderful? Because if he had a bad day, we'd have a problem. We'd have a problem. He doesn't have bad days. Every day is good for him. He is not upset by the things that we are upset by. He doesn't see things the way we see it. We see it down here. He sees the whole picture. He never changes based on his emotions. He's still the same yesterday, today, and forever. We can always trust him. And so, he disciplines us, but he never does it in an overbearing or abusive way. There's people that have that attitude about God, that he is abusive, that he is just up there trying to see how much pain and suffering he can cause down here on earth. God allows people to make choices. And unfortunately, we have chosen to be disobedient to him. But he has allowed that, and we don't understand his purposes. But him allowing it is not him doing it. He's allowed us to have our own will, our own way, but he calls us, he tells us how to live and how to act, in spite of how others may act. Very similar to a human parent. Very similar. I can tell my kids, and I can even discipline them so that they begin to act in the right way, but I can't change their heart. In fact, there are some kids that spend all that time while they're getting disciplined, and they spend it in rebellion, and they're like, just you wait till I get 18. Not Malachi. Anyways, but just you wait till I turn 18. I'm out of here. And I'm going to do my own thing. Well, if that is the attitude, that's probably because the father and the mother didn't really do what they were supposed to do either. See, God doesn't do that to us. He gives us that choice to follow him or to not follow him. When we follow him, when we do the right thing, we're blessed. When we do the wrong thing, we miss out. In fact, we punish ourselves way more than God punishes us. When we do the wrong thing, he disciplines us. Why? For the purpose of bringing us back into that place of restoration, relationship with him. That's why he disciplines us. It's for our good. But any punishment isn't coming from God. The punishment comes upon those who don't believe because they don't believe. The punishment is being separated from God for all eternity. That's the punishment. It says God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So it's not God going, yes, I want to punish them, and I'm these people, I am pleased to send them to hell. There's some philosophies, even theologies that believe that God is pleased to send some people to hell. No, he's not. He says very clearly he isn't. It says very clearly that he is not willing that any should perish. And that should be our heart as well. You know, when we as believers get this attitude where we say, God, send fire down upon them. Destroy them. No, that's not. That should not be our attitude. We should be saying, Lord, change their hearts. Draw them to yourself before it's too late. Before it's too late. We should not enjoy the destruction of the wicked, just like God doesn't. We should be praying for them, seeking for their mercy, seeking that God reveals himself to them, sharing with them about the Lord. That should be our heart, because that is our Father's heart. And I would much rather have a father who has grace and unmerited favor and love, and who does everything to keep me from going my own way and to keep me from destruction, than a father that is up there going, yeah, come on, yeah, it's almost time, I just can't wait. How can we think that God feels that way? You know, I used to have a wrong understanding of my father a few times, and a lot of it had to do with the setup. This is not how he felt, but this is what I thought, that my father couldn't wait to get home from work so he could spank me. Because all day long, what was my mom telling me? You just wait till your father gets home. Well, you know, the Holy Spirit is not saying that. You just wait till your father gets home. The Lord is not saying that. Okay? He loves us. He loves us. He's saying, please, turn to me. Please just listen. I'm not going to make you do it, but do it because you want to. And I will fill you. And I will fill you with peace and joy and love beyond your imagination. That's what he wants to do for the body of Messiah. He wants to just fill us up. That's what revival is all about. Us surrendering ourselves to the Lord. Us, what does it say? If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and turn from their wicked way and repent and turn from their wicked way, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. That is our Father's desire. That's what he desires more than anything else. He doesn't desire punishment. You know, the other one is lack of discipline. Maybe our fathers gave us no structure, no instruction. That's just as bad. That's just as bad as punishment. May not hurt as much, but it's just as bad, because people with no structure, people with no instruction, no discipline, don't even understand what's right and wrong. And so maybe I thank God my father was not like this. He gave me a lot of instruction about right and wrong. And I thank God for that. But I know that I knew some where their fathers didn't care. You go do whatever you want. Figure it out. You know, figure out how it is to be a man. You just go figure it out for yourself. Make your own path, whatever. And there was no instruction. There was no discipline. You know, there's families that are raising their kids today who don't want to, they don't want to hold back their kids from their creativity or whatever. I don't know, they have some way of saying it. And the idea there is, oh no, we would never put little Freddie, there's no little Freddies in here, right? Okay. We'd never put little Freddie in the corner. No. Because, you know, we don't want to hurt his feelings. We would never tell little Freddie no about anything. He needs to find out for himself. So we let him touch the hot oven. So when he gets burned, he knows not to touch it again. I've actually heard people say that. They let their kid touch a hot oven so that they were, what? You're going to let your kid get burned? Let them play with the light socket. They'll remember not to do that again. Yeah, and you won't have a child anymore. Let them play in the street. They'll know when they get hit by a car. I mean, it's ridiculous. But there are people that's their philosophy. Maybe not to that extreme, but that's their philosophy in raising children. If you were raised in a home like that, I'm sorry. I'm thankful that you're here and not in prison. That's wonderful. You're still alive. That's a blessing. But I'll tell you what, that's a crazy way to raise a child. But it can tell you why we have some kids today who don't have any clue about right or wrong. They have no clue about respect, none of those things. Why? They had no instruction. Why can a kid go into a classroom and shoot all the other kids? Because he's having a bad day. Because somewhere, some point, he was never taught, this is wrong. You can't just treat other people like your video game. You know, that's the problem when parents just turn their kids loose to do whatever they want with their video games. Well, it's keeping them occupied. Yeah, it sure is. And they're wanting to act that out. You know? I'm not saying all those video games are bad and kids should never play video games. My kids play video games after they do their chores, after they do their schoolwork, and it's also monitored. I don't just let them go and say, oh, yeah, whatever you want to play today. Oh, yeah, go right ahead. Oh, yeah, mature. Yeah, sure, go right ahead. No. You look at it, you look at the ratings, and you go, no, you're not going to play this game. My kids have never asked me to play one of those anyways. But because they already know what the answer is going to be. But I find out about it. I'm concerned about it. I don't want them to just do whatever. Because that's not being a good father. It's not being a good mother when we do those things. So, lack of discipline. Maybe you grew up in that kind of home. There's no structure. So you can't understand God's law. How can there be a law? I've never had to do a law. I've never had to obey anybody. So it's very difficult when we say that we need to obey the Lord. Well, once again, that is something to take before the Lord and say, Lord, I want your discipline. I want your instruction in my life. I know I need it. I need those boundaries. So, Lord, put those boundaries in my life. Create that structure that I need so I can please you. And finally, love. Never told that we were loved, or never believed it when we were told that. Maybe because of other actions. Never told. Some have never been told. Maybe once in their life they were told by their father that he loved them. Or maybe not at all. Maybe not at all. And that's difficult because it's really difficult to believe our Heavenly Father loves us when we never heard that from our earthly father. Sometimes you feel completely unlovable. Why would my Heavenly Father love me? I'm not worth being loved, is something that we tell ourselves many times. That's not just the enemy saying that. He works on that, of course. He'll expand on it. But sometimes we tell ourselves that. You are worth being loved. And your Heavenly Father, God, loves you. In fact, he loves you so much that he became one of us. Yeshua, Cain, became one of us just to redeem us. Just to make our relationship right with God, the Father. That is the whole purpose, the main purpose of Yeshua coming. Is to restore that relationship between each one of us as individuals and the Father. We also have that relationship together as his children. But each one of us, he wanted to restore that relationship. So that's how much he loves us. I mean, come on. Willing to become this? Willing to live down here? And you notice Yeshua, when he walked the earth, Did he go around changing all the authority structure and changing everything? No, he didn't. He didn't. I mean, his life changed people's hearts. The kingdom of God came. He definitely dealt a huge blow to the darkness. He destroyed the works of darkness. But you don't see him going in, taking over the role of the high priest, which he could have done. You don't see him changing those things. You don't see him marching to Rome and going, guess what, emperor, whoever was on the, get off the throne. I'm King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You don't see him doing that. He lived within the authority structure that was already set up, just like you and I have to. God does not call you to walk down to the hall, the city hall, and say, hey, guess what? One of these days I'm going to be ruling and reigning over the earth with the Lord, with Messiah. So you know what? I'm taking over today because you guys are doing a lousy job. No, God doesn't tell us to do that. He tells us to live wherever he has put us. You might have some authority and some power. You might not. But you have all authority in him. We have the authority of the Father. And Yeshua understood that. And when you understand that you have authority, that you are his child, it makes you, first of all, you feel incredibly loved. But secondly, you're not afraid of other people with authority anymore. You're not afraid of what's going on anywhere because guess what? I have a direct connection to the Father. At any point, you and I can call on the Father, can call out to him. That is awesome. That is awesome. So those are some issues. How should we respond to our fathers? First of all, we need to thank our fathers if they're still alive and we can still thank them for the good things that they have done. For the good things that they have instilled in our life. Even if it's hard to find something, maybe you had a really bad relationship, find something. Ask God to show you. And then thank God for the good things that they have done and what they have taught you. You know, I have something that my father made very clear. There was many good things my father taught me, but there was one thing in particular that has really stuck with me. And one of the things he said was, never take the glory from God. Always give God the glory in every good thing that happens in your life. Never try to take the glory. That's been awesome. That's been something I've been able to apply all the time. Now, when he told me that, I had no clue I was going to be a pastor. I had no clue that that was going to be a big issue in my life, you know, but it stuck with me. Don't ever take the glory for something God is doing. And that's very important that we understand. So that's something really good that my father taught me. But there's many things that we can be thankful for. So first of all, start with thanking God for your father. And then if you feel it's necessary, if you see that maybe there's some issues like we just talked about, abandonment, a lack of approval, provision, punishment, lack of discipline, never feeling love, maybe there's something else, forgive your father. Forgive our fathers for those areas where they have fallen short and caused wounds. We need to forgive them. Because and I understand how hard this is. Because, you know, I have wounds in my heart too. My father wasn't perfect. And I went to go through that list and say, and to forgive, and there was a part of me that was fighting that. I didn't want to forgive. I was angry. And you might be that way, and yet that's okay. The Lord understands. He understands why you're angry. But it's not okay to not forgive them. We have to. We have to forgive them. Here's why. If we don't forgive them, we will never come to the place of being able to accept him truly as our father. And if we don't forgive them, he will not forgive us. Doesn't he say that in scripture? That applies to our fathers too. Not just to other people that have hurt us, but to people that are really, really close. If we don't forgive them, we don't get that forgiveness either. And so this could be a key issue in your life. Maybe you've been saying, well, I've forgiven everybody. Oh, wait a second. I haven't really forgiven my father. It might take a while to do it, but we need to do it. We need to pursue it. And it doesn't matter what they've done or how bad they've hurt you. That is not ever. God never says only forgive them if they've hurt you this bad, but if they've hurt you that bad, never forgive them again. Never talk to them. Never see them. Whatever. He doesn't say that, does he? Forgive no matter what. We need to forgive. Just as he forgives us. Just as he forgives us. Forgive our fathers for those areas where they have fallen short. Ask God to heal the wounds caused by these shortcomings in our fathers. There are wounds. There are wounds that have been caused by this. So ask God to heal them. Say, Lord, you know, when that trigger happens in my life, one thing that I would say, now, whether it's because of my own rebellion or the way my father went about it, doesn't matter. It became an issue. Finances was a huge issue in my life. Still is. Still is. It's a trigger. Poor Jean used to do our finances for Hooray Yeshua. She'd talk to me about finances, and I'd be like, you know. It wasn't her fault. She was just asking, you know, what, you know, Mike has to go through that sometimes too. And I don't know. Not as much to Mike. He's my father-in-law, so, you know. But anyways, the point is I had an issue. I had a trigger. Why? Because my father drilled it into me. You got to do this. You got to do this. You got to keep this and keep that, you know, and it drove me crazy. I didn't want to talk about money. I didn't care. If there was money in the bank and I could pay for it, that's fine. I'm not even going to pay attention to how it goes out. And unfortunately, that's bad today because I don't save very well. I don't do a lot of things with money well. And thank God we have people here who handle it. I don't handle the money for Hooray Yeshua. There's a very good reason. I don't handle the money for First Baptist. I just recently, well, probably a few, maybe 5 years ago, started to handle the money for our home again. Heather did that for a while, you know, because it's something that just gets me so angry. But that's my problem that I have to give to the Lord. And it was a rebellion towards my father that started it. So guess what? For the longest time, I didn't tithe to my heavenly father. Why? Because I didn't want to talk about money. I hated the whole idea. What, I have to give you 10%? How am I going to survive? Can't I just give you 20 here and 20 there and whatever and call it even? Because I don't want to think about it. I don't want to think about that percent. See, we got these things in our life that are things that happen because of the way maybe our fathers treated us, or our mothers, either way, but most, you know, many times our fathers. And it causes these issues not just with God, but with other people as well. Ask God to keep us from passing our wounds on to our children. So ask God to heal the wounds caused by these shortcomings, and then ask God to keep from passing those wounds on to our children. I know there are some wounds that I got that I have passed on to my children. My children are now mostly teenagers. There's been times that I've tried, you know, I've really tried not to pass a lot of things on to them. And God has actually done things in my life to show me when I was acting that same way towards my kids. But that's very difficult. It's a very difficult thing. In fact, I had a situation one time where I was getting very upset with my boys, especially, you know, this one that really sticks out. And I was very upset with them about not closing the door when they would come back in. We lived in Sterling City at the time. You know, flies would come in. Sometimes birds would come in. When it's wintertime, it would get... The squirrels, yeah, it'd start getting cold, you know. The boys would just come walking in the door, and they'd totally forget to close the door. So I'd be like, close the door! You know, and the first time maybe it was, close the door, will you? Second time they did it, close the door. Third time, I told you, how many times do I have to tell you to shut the door, you know? And the poor kids are like, shut the door. It's like you'd think they'd, you know, done something horrible, you know? It just, they didn't shut the door, but they were feeling, you know, really bad. And Heather would talk to me. He's like, you don't have to get on them that much about it. It's not that huge of a deal. Yes, it is! No, I'm just... So But I would go to work at that time. I'd go to work and my boss would be like picking on every little thing I was doing, driving me crazy. It's like I couldn't do anything to please him. Even when I did a really good job, and even the customer would say I'd done a good job, for my boss, it wasn't good enough. He'd find some little thing. So I started complaining to the Lord about it, you know, because it didn't make my job very easy. I didn't enjoy coming to work because I knew he would find all these issues. And so I remember driving down to the airport and complaining to the Lord about it. And the Lord says, how do you treat your sons? What? Wait, no, we're talking about my boss, Lord. We're talking about how he treats me. No, how do you treat your boys? And then the Lord just revealed to me that I was treating my boys the same way my boss was treating me. And it couldn't have been good for them. How did they feel about that? And so I had to confess that to the Lord. And I confessed it to the Lord. I got back to work that day. My boss was like, did you have a good trip? How are you doing? How are things going? Wow, you did a really good job on the such and such. You know, I'm sitting there going, who are you? Are you getting ready to fire me or something? You know, because sometimes they act really nice before that, you know. No, he had completely changed. And to this day, he has a completely different attitude. God changed his heart that quickly. The whole point was he wanted to change my heart. There was something he wanted to show me. So those are the types of things that we don't want to pass those same wounds on to our children. We don't want to treat our children in the same way. When we do, we need to ask forgiveness. So the final part is ask God and our children. If you are a father or even a mother and you've passed some of these things on, ask God and our children for forgiveness for any damage we may have done to them already and any wounds we may have passed on. Let the Lord show you what those might be and ask forgiveness. So we are past time, kind of had a late start this morning. But I want to go through some things real quick, and then we'll close with some verses. God our Father loves us. He says, I will be a father to you. But as our Father, he loves us. He provides for us. He shelters us. In every aspect that we need sheltering, he shelters us. He teaches us, instructs us. He disciplines us. Those two are sometimes the same, but they're different in many ways as well. He approves of us. He approves of us because why? He approves of his Son who dwells in us. He approves of us. And he spends time with us. He desires to spend time with us. He wants us to spend time with him. Now, you can look those verses up on your own. We don't have time to look them all up this morning, but God is a good father. He's not like maybe what we've experienced with imperfect fathers. He's not like us. Some of us that are fathers and we're also imperfect. He's good. He's perfect. But he calls us, first of all, to forgive and then not to be like maybe our fathers were, or not to be like, you know, not to allow those wounds to affect our own children. And the only way that can happen is if there's some healing. There has to be some healing. I thank God in my life that there was some healing from the wounds that I received. So much so that although sometimes it's hard when I look back at stuff, I have a good relationship with my Father again today because God has healed my wounds. When God heals your wounds, then you see your parents, you see your father in a totally different way. You begin to see his needs, his wounds. And there's things that we begin to pray for our parents that maybe we didn't pray before because we were only focused on us. But when God does that healing in our life, we can start to pray for them. Let's close with a few verses here. Matthew 18:12-14. What do you think? If a man owns 100 sheep, and one of them wanders away, will he not leave the 99 on the hills and go look for the one that wandered off? And if he finds it, I tell you the truth, he is happier about that one sheep than about the 99 that did not wander off. In the same way, your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should be lost. That's the Father's heart. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, because He is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Luke 12:32. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. That's pretty cool, huh? Do not be afraid, for your Father is pleased to give you the kingdom. No, the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. John 16:27. Romans 8:15-16. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. So let those truths from God's word just go deep into our hearts this morning. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? And one of my favorites. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. Don't let the enemy tell you anything else. This is the love of the Father. He wants to lavish it on us. And being a father, just last night, where's my lavish girl? I think she's in class. You know, my tolly, you know, I call her over. She's like, no, no, no. She knows what I want. What do I want to do? I want to hug her and kiss her and tickle her. I want to lavish love on her. Now, if I did that to some of the other ones right now, they'd probably punch me or something. You know, they're old enough now. You know, it's like, you know. But there's that desire of our Father to lavish us with love. It's kind of sloppy, actually. In a good way. You know, I don't know if you've ever zorbited your kid or got zorbited. That's my own made-up word, okay. That's when you grab him and you go like that raspberries, okay. That's what the Lord wants to do. He wants to give us raspberries. I really think he does.
Oh, some of you, oh, well, how can you say that about our Heavenly Father?
Because he does. He loves us that much. What do you think it's saying here? How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. And you and I, no matter how old we are his children. And he loves us so much. Way, way beyond our comprehension. Don't let the enemy steal that joy of the love of the Father for you. The love that the Father has. That's why he says in 1 John, that is what we are. That is our identity. Our identity is children of God. That is our true identity. It's not all those other things that you might have heard, might have even believed about yourself, might have heard from other people, maybe even heard from your father. It's none of those things. You know, there's things that fathers say in anger that stick with us for the rest of our life. We hear it. Might be one-time thing. That's the only time maybe he said it, but we hear it. And we believe that about ourselves. And so if you've been told those things, don't believe that anymore. Believe this. Your Father in heaven wants to lavish you with love. You are his child, and he loves you tremendously. Father, we are so grateful to you. I ask this morning, Lord, that you will heal wounds that maybe have been around for years. Maybe 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years, maybe more. Wounds that only you can heal. Lord, that you will reveal in our hearts this morning how much you love us, that you want to lavish us with your love, that you are a good Father, that you are the perfect Father, that you're better than the Father we could ever even imagine. You're perfect in everything you do. You are so good. But Lord, what's awesome is you don't expect perfection of us. You expect us to humble ourselves, to yield to you, and let your perfection, your completeness, live in us. And you are pleased by the work that you have done in us. You created us, and Lord, you redeemed us. And you are working right now to bring us to that place of full restoration. Lord, we already have your righteousness. But Lord, you are working in us holiness, sanctification, that we will be holy unto you. And one of these days, Lord, you're going to complete that work, and we're going to have new glorified bodies, and we're going to get to spend all eternity in your presence. Lord, that what we only get little glimpses of, the emotions and the feelings and the passion and a little glimpse of your glory and of your Spirit, Lord, we want way more than that. We want way more than that. We want more of you. But Lord, one day we're going to have all of it. All of it is what you've promised. Because we are heirs and joint heirs with Yeshua. Because of the work that you have done. We are so grateful. Thank you for being our Father today. And Lord, where we need to, we forgive our fathers. Where we as fathers need to ask forgiveness, we ask you for forgiveness. And Lord, I pray you will do a work this Father's Day in all of our hearts. A work that will bring honor and glory to you. And we pray all this in Yeshua's name. Amen. Blessing over the bread. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam hamotzi lechem min haaretz. Amen. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth. Amen. Blessing over the fruit of the vine. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam borei pri hagafen. Amen. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who creates the fruit of the vine. Amen. Remember, when we do this blessing, this is coming from the Father to us. Yivarecha Adonai v'yishmarecha Ya'ir Adonai panav elecha v'hunecha Yisa Adonai Panav elecha, v'yasem lecha, shalom. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. B'shem Yeshua HaMashiach Sar HaShalom. In the name of Yeshua, our Messiah, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Shabbat Shalom.